How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
Behold the king. The king of kings.
Here comes the man that owns the cafe. You know, no matter how much you love your job, there's just some things that is just like a burden to have to do. You know, it's like busy work. You just don't want to have to come out and do it, but you just have to, right? So here I am to do my busy work because I wouldn't want John Cena in there, the great almighty John Cena, to think that the authority can't make a decision. So here goes my busy work. Let me tell you something, player. This is how it's going to be on Friday Night SmackDown.
I recognize that voice.
It'll be the team of Kane, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, and the Wyatt family against... Well, hell, you guys all get it. You know the drill. It's a 10-man tag starring everybody here, including Roman Reigns and John Cena. Now, how about that? Player, holla!
Are you kidding me?
Theodore Rufus Long couldn't have done any better. We got us a 10-man tag, Michael.
That's got to be one of the biggest tag matches in SmackDown history. What a match made by the COO Triple H for tonight here on SmackDown.
The evil boss multitasks so well. As a COO, as a general manager, as an impersonator, as a comedian, as quite a few other things that we've seen him do.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Anyway. So, yes, hilarity ensues here at the NAWC. My name is Nikki Heyman. Who do I have at the table? Ah, yes. Let's start way out in the Big Apple with Jason Block.
Glad to be back in the Nut House after a week away in Florida. It seems like I've brought the weather back with me. It's hot, it's humid, it's nasty. Yuck.
Don't let that come any further west.
Mm-mm.
And somebody who's stuck in that weather for 10 months out of the year, Chris Waters.
You forgot to add the rainy part there, Jason.
That's... Yeah, I know, yes. Downpours for 10 minutes, then sunny for an hour. Yes, I know.
Exactly.
Right.
And Nikki... Hey, Nikki, you forgot a job title for Triple H.
Which one?
Doofus.
Oh, that goes without saying. And who the fourth at our table? Who else but fourth?
And he's just happy that the only wrestling show on Monday nights that's beating Raw is a show they own anyway.
It's been a very odd couple of weeks when it comes to WWE's programming, and I had to witness this firsthand. I willingly got in my car and drove to Des Moines to attend this Monday's Raw. I'm still not sure if I got my money's worth.
From what I from what I read, for the most part, you didn't. You know?
The script's out there, folks. If you want to go out there and read it, I wish WWE had deviated. Because I do not go to a wrestling show for melodrama over and over and over and over again. Thankfully, that allowed me to use the restroom, pick up the brand new program, which is already out of date, catch up with a couple of other fans. What else did I do? Oh, yes, I got ice cream.
But did you buy a $9.99 shirt?
They weren't out yet.
Oh, damn. Now, okay, this broke this week. Tell the viewers what they did. Oh, my God.
Since the $9.99 thing has become such a wonderful little meme within the WWE, they decided, you know what, let's do this anyway, and they made a $9.99 t-shirt that they will sell you for only
$9.99. Genius. Genius.
Which is a lot cheaper than any of their other shirts, thankfully.
Admitted. I wanted to see if they were actually going to sell it for $24.99 to see if anybody would get the joke. No, I did pick up the new program, and of course it's already out of date. Xavier Woods in the white suit, Alberto Del Rio still employed. But you know, that was about 30 to 40 minutes of the show that I was not there to see. I was glad they at least allowed the highlight reel to happen, even though, let's see, by then, that turned into a six-man schmoz. No, they didn't break the set. But, like I said, they wasted way too much time on the Bella Twins. If they could at least act, Chris, I would be interested. But they can't even act.
Sure they can. They act like trees. Very wooden.
Ah! Sound effect, please!
Don't mind if I do.
Because that's absolutely 100% true. They're awful. Everything about... See, here's the problem. The turn could have been done 1,000 times better if it was based in reality. Not this not the caddy, you're better than me bullshit, you know.
And on top of this, 90% of the reason they're actually doing this is not because they want us to remember that Daniel Bryan exists, but they're doing it for Total Divas that already gets good ratings. It doesn't need any help from the show, Forth.
And what makes it even worse is... I'm not sure how much of Nikki Bella's whole, oh, Nick Free did this, but I didn't tell anyone, is going to be used on that show anyway, which makes it even worse to have to sit through.
Said I got a lot done. I did end up with a very light, it was a very light wrestling night, because we had the Sheamus and Ziggler versus Cesaro and
Johnny Cage.
Thank you. And his stunt double Mizdow. Which I personally, I'm digging this, Chris. I think Miz has finally fallen back into a niche that he can do.
Right. Miz works better when he's a smug, slimy kind of character. They went too serious with him when he got the title, and then after that they tried to make him a face and worked for about a week, and that was it. If that. And at least it's given Sandow something to do besides just dress up to somebody else and lose, even though he's still doing that, but at least it's the same someone this time.
And it was kind of fun, because I don't know how well the cameras caught it, because I fast-forwarded through the DVR version. The Damian was playing not only stunt double, but publicist and agent and security guard all at the same time during the intro, and then during the segment, it's during the match itself. Of course, he's coaching, and you know, every now and again, Miz would get a breather. He'd go down to the director's chair. They'd touch up his makeup, and Sandow would, you know, would block it out. So I thought it was funny, and I thought it was fun.
That's cool in a meta sort of way.
Yeah.
You know.
The one thing though, the six man tag main on Monday, which was partially reprised in a 10-man tag on Friday. I have one thing to say. Dear WWE, stop trying to make John Cena an underdog to anyone. Even Lesnar. You have built him up. Go ahead.
I was going to say, to be honest, there's only one wrestler I can think of that can actually be convincing him as an underdog. And right now, he's injured. Other than that, yes, it just gets really annoying.
So, because, I mean, the discussion at the highlight reel, maybe I should get a new number one contender. Well, we'd like you to get a new number one contender, Doc, but John Cena won't let go of it. Or at least that's how it's written. And I know, and I wish I had proof or confirmation that he went to them and said, I don't want to be booked like this. But I can't prove it.
And honestly, right now, the product over the last 2 weeks makes me say, you know what? I don't want to watch. I really don't. Not just the banning thing. Not anger. It's just boredom is a better word for it. You know what I'm saying?
Mine's borderline confusion because I'm seeing good things here and there, but the problem is the bad is really, really, really bad. And I mean, if they took out the melodrama, I think I'd feel a little bit better. I'm digging the B feuds because Sheamus Cesaro is going to be the stiffest thing, you know, the stiffest thing the side of a Viagra factory.
yeah.
And Miz and Ziggler is going to be a show off, for lack of a better term. Actually, no, there is a better term. Let me see if I still have it. Where is it? No, I don't have it. No.
No.
It's going to be awesome. Yes.
Yes. That's not what I was looking for, but let me see if I know I had it somewhere.
And then in B feuds, there's still confusion of why they decided to do it, but if they build it up well enough, they have the Cody, the Dusts versus the Usos still.
Well, it's at that point we're still in will they or won't they, meaning are the Dusts going to turn?
I think with the attack on Cody, one of the Usos, I think they pretty much have.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, I don't know. I'm still looking at them as they're chaotic crazy.
Could be.
I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. We've had, you know, question marks when it comes to the world's largest tag team, where they fit in. And even then, they're going to be broken up because Mark Henry is taking Jack Swagger's place while Jack Swagger goes and feuds with Bo Dallas. For the better, Mark Henry versus Rusev is a more believable feud to me. Jack Swagger is a great athlete. I will say that. And Jim will heartily agree with me. But Jack did not get the We the People thing over. Zeb did. Cesaro did.
Ah, okay. Okay. I'm with you there.
So, we put somebody... We're gonna look at Rusev and say, pick on somebody your own size. Maybe a little bigger. And with Mike skills. So, you know, Mark Henry up against Rusev is a little more believable, and the crowd's actually digging that.
Until Rusev beats Henry, until John Cena comes into the picture. Thank you. Not to be cynical, but what's going to happen.
Well, would you rather have Cena drop down the card and fight Rusev, or would you rather have him stay up there chasing Lesnar?
I'd rather have him drop down the card. I'm just saying.
I'd rather have a 10 to 15 years ago Kurt Angle take on Rusev, but that's another story.
And since the word's already out that the doc has already looked at Angle and said, not only no, but, you know, hell no, just because you went over my head. You called my father-in-law. That's cheating. I will give a couple of insights from the show, from the Des Moines show. Some of the funniest stuff wasn't on camera. There was a kid who had a sign that did get on camera a few times. It says, I would rather be home watching Nitro.
That kid deserves a win.
And on the back it said, for only $9.99. Good sign. Great sign. But apparently, the kid was a bit of an idiot. And I'm embellishing a little bit to say that he was a kid because he was a drunk who got thrown out.
Yeah.
So, you know, good sign, man, but don't make up a story that you got kicked out because of your sign. Because if it was your sign that was getting you kicked out, you would have been kicked out at 7, not at 9:30. You were out there most of the night. The other sign that actually the fans get to see, well, the viewers at home got to see at the end of the show. I wish this had gotten on camera. John Cena was in such histrionics trying to get tagged in. He jumps off the apron, runs over to the corner, over to ramp side, grabs this giant neon green sign that says, "Tag me in," gets back on the apron and starts waving it at Jericho. That needed to be on camera.
So that explains why he held that sign that way.
Well, that's why he went and got it again after the match.
Yeah.
But if the home viewers had gotten to see it during the match, they would have loved it. I also think it happened during commercial because I didn't go back and watch this. But when the world's largest tag team took on the Wyatts, Big Show, not the crowd, Big Show started a sexual chocolate chant.
Do this.
And you're right. They're, I think at this point, you know, these last couple of weeks, they've just been coasting and goofing and trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do. The show, they're loading everything up for Monday, where they'd gotten my hopes up. And I'm conflicted on how I feel about this. Fourth, you do a sport. You do one of many sports podcasts. When they announced that Michael Sam was invited to Raw, what did you think of that?
I was honestly thinking either he was going to be on and everything would be all nice and nice, or we would get something that would cause WWE to make headlines in the way that they did with Lana at Battleground.
My hope actually was that they would have him come out there and do something, and if they could talk him into it, where he would get attacked by Rusev, or, you know, if not by Rusev, by, you know, by some heel, and Darren Young makes the save, if Darren's healthy.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, but I have to check on what Darren's like there.
That's what I had in mind.
By the way, Jim wants to chime in.
Yeah, Jim, your thoughts on this one?
Well, let's think about this. The season premiere of Raw goes up against a doubleheader of Monday Night Football. this was nothing more than a name grab and an attention grab. Dare one say a little exploitive to a certain degree. Somewhere, if I'm Darren Young, I'm a little peeved, actually. I've come out and I'm here. Anybody want to care about me? Hello. I've been the good boy doing all this. You know, be a star. And where's my cookie? That's the logic I get out of it. And of course, it's now all null and void because less than 24 hours after the fact, Michael Sam signed with the Dallas Cowboys practice squad, and if I'm a betting person, will probably be on the 53-man roster at some point this season because Dallas is horrible.
It's a name grab from either direction when he gets signed or if he showed up on Raw. As for Darren, Darren's been hurt. That's why he hasn't been on TV. Maybe we will get a consolation prize, and I don't mean it in a degrading way, but they put Darren Young on TV since they didn't get Michael Sam.
Possibly, but I don't see that logistically happening. I just don't. And you notice the WWE, the king of revisionist history, as soon as Sam signed with Dallas, every reference to Michael Sam, you know, being invited to Raw was cut, snipped, deleted, as if it never even happened in the first place. In fact, I was watching some of the YouTube feeds. Ooh, I shouldn't say that. Ooh. But at least from what I could see on what the people in the UK saw on Sky Sports 2, there were no mentions of Michael Sam being invited hardly at all during the broadcast.
I only recall one such mention. We only had one in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times they had a commercial bumper for it, though.
I think three.
I think
three. Is that right, Jim?
That
three?
Seems about right. Two or three. Well, let me ask you, how did the crowd there in Des Moines react? I'm just curious. This is middle America, mind you, so you know, did they were like, eh, whatever.
It was whatever. I mean, they were like, why would we want a football player? You know, it was more, why do we want a football player to come to Raw when we want to watch wrestlers?
You see, because it's the start of football season, and you want to go up against football with more football, because you put NFL on something, everybody loves NFL. Oh, wait. Except in Iowa, where, you know, they don't even have a football team, really, when you get right down to it anymore. So.
And when they're the only person that they wanted to cheer for is a bad guy.
Yeah. Jerry Lawler's. No, Rollins. Lawler's trying to cover it like, oh, they want to see Rollins get beat up. That's why they're chanting, let's go, Rollins.
Well, they were chanting, we want Rollins during the main. And I'm sure, yeah, Lawler probably said, yeah, they want to see Rollins get his butt kicked out here.
No, he's from Davenport, you douche. Seriously. Didn't you watch the SummerSlam special on your own network?
But $9.99, Michael!
Lawler watching
I'll have you. I'll have you know the ring announcer did not say that from Davenport, Iowa, when Rollins came out.
Where did he say from?
He didn't.
Ah.
Period.
Well played, Justin Roberts. Well played.
Yeah. So, you know, we avoided a little bit the you can't boo a Henning in Minnesota thing. So, but yeah, everybody, you know, if they weren't chanting for Rollins, they were chanting for Jericho. So it didn't matter. So, with Michael Sam gainfully employed, which is thus my reservations about saying that this was a bad thing, he has a job, so he can't make it to Raw. That's fine.
Yeah, thank God. Seriously.
The problem is the plan B. The plan B.
Jesus!
I realize he's perfect for the show. I realize he's perfect for what they're bringing him in for. But I don't want to watch it.
Again. Jerry,
yeah, again, yeah. Jerry effing Springer.
To be fair, we might get baggage Jerry Springer as opposed to Jerry Springer, Jerry Springer. Am I right, no, Jason?
We're going to get Jerry Springer, Jerry Springer.
Ah, that sucks.
No. Look.
I was going for
I actually did, you know, when you're on the plane, when you're watching JetBlue, you have a lot of things you can watch. I watch Catfish, and occasionally I'll watch a little bit of the Jerry Springer show, okay? It's like 2 minutes of talk and 5 minutes of fighting, okay?
No. It's 2 minutes of talk, 30 seconds of fighting, and 4.5 minutes of the security guys keeping everybody separated.
Yes, exactly. So what happens is you're going to get talk show Jerry Springer. This is what you're getting. Duh.
Admittedly, but at least his segment's going to have more fighting on it than a TNA show.
Oh, good. Ooh. God. Wow. Okay. Although TNA has actually been increasing in ratings now that it's back on Wednesday and people actually know where they are. So it's
yes.
kind of cool. And you know what? That's good. No joke.
No. More power to him. And speaking of moves, WWE was like, oh, let's take SmackDown to Thursday nights. Oh, shit, look at all that football. Let's stay over here. Now, some people are saying, oh, no, WWE did that because the picture leaked. That revisionist history, Jason?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, put it to you this way. It's a smart move to keep it on Friday nights. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Come on. They like to fight on Friday night, Jason.
Oh, God, would you?
Somebody mute him.
Yeah. Could you? Would you please? No. Seriously, folks. It's a smart move. You don't move it to Thursday nights. You've got incredible competition with football and other stuff. They would get their asses handed to them.
Keep it on Friday. Keep it on Friday where you still get good ratings. You can usually say that you're the top show on Friday nights. Usually.
The only other night I can think of that I would want to see SmackDown on besides Friday right now, if you did not compete with football, would be Wednesday, really. Because I don't know about the sports side of things, but I don't think there is that much other competition on Wednesday nights for shows that I could go against. Plus, it's the middle of the week. Plus, you still get the day, at least a day, to edit everything. So,
but they would be biting off the hand. They would be lending credence and credibility to Impact going to Wednesday night. Would they outrate them? More than likely, yes. But you don't want to play the 800-pound gorilla shouldn't be chasing and doing the moves that the 8-pound gorilla is doing. If you catch my drift.
The other thing to think about, Chris, is that moving SmackDown to Thursdays would have put them in direct competition with themselves.
True.
Takeover. Yeah, NXT.
The fact that NXT, you know, airs their new episodes on Thursdays, and next week they will be live. And we are gonna get some. We've got the card looks great.
Oh yeah,
and they're going to do everything they can to get Kenta. Yes, Kenta on TV somehow. They are not going. They didn't run him through the name generator, Jim.
I was looking to. I had my big red button and everything. I was going to go big bucks, no whammies. Oh, darn it.
So, but the card itself. And I'll just run through it real quick. Mr. Caffeinated, Mojo Rawley versus Bolt Dempsey. Enzo Amore versus Sylvester Lefort in a hair versus hair match. Not what I'm looking at. Tag team title match, Ascension versus Kalisto and Sin Cara.
That could be pretty interesting if they let the Kalisto and Kara bump around for Connor and Victor a little bit, as well as them getting off their more flashier moves.
As if Kalisto can get a few minutes of offense, and they let him go. You know, that's your $9.99 right there. Charlotte will be defending her NXT women's title against Bayley. And if that tag match doesn't draw you in, Neville defends his title against Sami Zayn, Tyler Breeze, and Tyson Kidd.
Take my money, please.
Yeah, exactly. I will be watching for that match alone. Thank you. Give them about a half hour, and we will be real happy.
Especially since Tyson's kind of coming to his own on NXT nowadays.
Yay. I got to say that because he's really cool in person. I've had the pleasure. What else have we got going on here? So the shows were meh, and you know, speaking as somebody who runs the most positive wrestling podcast out there, I feel bad that I have to say stuff like this, but I had enough energy left over from the Des Moines show that I drove home. And Chris, driving home in this case would be like driving from your place to
Orlando.
Probably all the way to say Cocoa Beach. This is a 4-hour drive.
And you had no issue with it?
No. On the way down, I had some problems with construction and traffic. No big deal. On the way back, there was a small stretch of construction. I still got home. I had enough energy left to get in my car and drive 4 hours home.
And you didn't need caffeine or anything?
I had a little bit of caffeine when I got in the car just to make sure. But I got home. I got a good night's sleep. I was up the next morning, back into the routine. You guys didn't give me enough to jump up and down about. Then again, I also feel slightly robbed because Dean Ambrose is missing.
Happy Scary Dean is love. Happy Scary Dean is life.
Happy Dean's a cop? What?
No, he's Hannibal Lecter, if you ask Kappa Amy.
Be on our show, Kappa Amy, please. Anyway. But yes, Happy Scary Dean is missing. Daniel Bryan is still hurt. CM Punk is still walking. And he turned around for a second and threw a lawyer at us.
Yeah! Oh, let me give you this one, people. This is very good, except for the fact that he's got no leg to stand on. his lawyer sent a 22-page letter to WWE and 2K Sports saying, give me my royalties or else I'm going to sue your ass for all the stuff and my image being used in WWE 2K15. I think that was the gist of the letter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so they wrote it in a huge font. And that's why it took 22 pages for him just to make sure they heard him.
Pay attention to me!
As long as it wasn't in Comic Sans.
No.
Punk would not do that.
No.
Windings. Okay, Windings, but maybe, but not.
I mean, if his attorney was Clarence Mason, then yeah, it just.
In the words of Lance Storm, if I could get serious for a moment, let me just put it in terms that I could. sort of explain it.
Sick 'em, legal.
You got it. Phil Brooks left the WWE in January of 2014. His contract ended July of 2014. He had scheduled performances and scheduled duties that he had for the last 6 months, which he walked out on, aka simple and easy breach of contract. Correct?
Okay.
Yep.
Now, WWE can say, you know what? Since you broached your contract, we cannot pay you the royalties from said contract. And therefore, I don't think Punk has a legal leg to stand on. I think money will be changing hands because they want the game out by October 28th. But I don't think it's going to be the money that Punk wants.
I don't think it'll ultimately matter. I think the game's going to come out regardless on the drop-dead date because what? There's no way.
No.
Okay.
No, you don't understand. Remember, there. If the game comes out, Punk can say you're using. Punk is saying you're using my image without paying me. Therefore, the game can't come out.
Now here's where we got to figure out what this is the line I got to look at. Who really owns CM Punk? Because Rob Van Dam owns Rob Van Dam. When WWE isn't using him, they do their best not to show anything of his.
Mm-hmm.
When he's there, they don't have a problem showing him, talking about him, etc. If Punk has the same deal as Rob Van Dam, then WWE is going to have to pay him.
It's interesting you mentioned Rob Van Dam. I was somebody had linked me yesterday, just to kind of parallel this, to some things that TNA is doing at their Shop TNA site. And among the things they're doing, the brown bag and the blue bag sales, and the blue bag sales, you get t-shirts, and one of the t-shirts pulled out, Jeremy Barash did it himself and showed it on camera and said, it's a Rob Van Dam t-shirt. So, interesting.
Rob is truly an independent contractor of independent contractors, and I think Punk has a similar deal in the case that he owns his name, his trademark. He might not own some of the logo stuff, and he sure as hell doesn't own Cult of Personality, but he owns enough of it that even without the contract, it's a copyright and it's a trademark infringement.
Mm-hmm.
So they would still owe him money.
My question to go really anal about this, when the game was developed, and these kind of games take a couple of years, theoretically, to actually develop to the final product you see.
No, it's a year.
Okay,
it's
a year. Year to year. So if it's year to year, then they started the mode while Punk was not just under contract, but willingly working for the company. Shouldn't that play into the legalese anywhere? Jason?
And that's where Jason's coming from.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's where I'm coming from. He was a contracted employee at the time. According to an article from whatculture.com, okay, reportedly, the letter addresses his depiction and use in the WWE 2K15 and with the new showcase mode, which is to recreate the historic storylines. And one of the feuds is, of course, Cena versus CM Punk. Okay. The lawyers feel that the champion is owed royalties for his depiction within the video game, which apparently WWE hasn't paid them. Okay. But again, it all comes down to breach of contract, I think. Okay. That's what I believe it is. Okay?
I'm just saying that it's going to be breach of contract versus trademark ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And that could get real ugly real quick.
Oh, yeah. I believe that there's going to be money changing hands sometime within the next 6 weeks that the games could come out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Settlement time, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be settled under the table, behind closed doors. A check will be written. Punk won't be happy. But I don't think he's going to fight too hard.
Especially no. Given...
Go ahead, forth.
Especially given that we know that the chances are WWE can kind of respond in their own unique way concerning a certain number one contender.
Actually, if this was already in motion, I think they gave a middle finger to Punk on Monday night. Oh. During the highlight reel, when Hunter was contemplating replacing the number one contender, Cena came out and said he was going to sue Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And Hunter said, really? I don't know how that would look on a t-shirt. Hustle, loyalty, respect, lawsuit. Johnny, you sure? And then they went on with their promo, which I noticed that wasn't in the script.
Uh-huh.
So I have a feeling that this was already on somebody's desk in Stanford.
Probably a couple weeks ago, I'm guessing, and it leaked.
And so, yeah. And yes, wrestlers are that petty and vindictive and will do shit like that.
Oh, I know.
That's up there with, you know why Zack Ryder was on TV? Yes, he got squashed by Rusev, but we decided we were going to do it for a reason. If Zack Ryder won't shut the tweet up, we're going to shut him up for him. I don't know all the details on that, though. I was just shocked to see Zack Ryder in front of me.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks since that win he had, isn't it?
But he's been on TV this week.
Yeah.
But well, he got killed both times, but he was on TV. So he can't complain.
Nope.
Hello?
You're still here.
Yeah.
Still here.
I'm here. Where's everybody else?
I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm still here.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine.
Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, yes.
Okay, sorry for that stumble, ladies and gentlemen. Where was I? Oh, Zack Ryder. His butt kicked. Can't be any worse than Heath Slater getting beat up by a rabbit. Now, sorry, bunny.
Yes, bunny. A party bunny, yes.
Fear the bunny.
I think Titus O'Neil, I'm surprised Titus O'Neil wasn't saying, you know, keep going.
Kill Dissuader, kill Dissuader. Sorry.
No, that's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I'm still waiting. I still need my clip from the JBL and Cole show when JBL and Zeb decide they're finally going to go after the bunny, and we see JBL dressed as Elmer Fudd and Zeb actually dressed as Yosemite Sam.
Doofus.
God bless JBL and Dutch. Those two.
The JBL and Cole show is actually where good comedy is, strangely enough.
Well, I mean, that's because they're allowed to have fun because nobody's paying attention.
And that show's been the springboard for some on-air talent, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. And last week we had a crossover of sorts.
How so?
They had Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell on it.
Oh, that's true. I was thinking crossover from the JBL and Cole show to Raw. And I'm like,
No.
Really? Where?
It's enough for one to say, hey, what is going on here?
Yeah, Dennis Haskins has actually done some local work in New Jersey, actually.
Mm.
So, he knows the game.
Oh, yeah.
And they also had Dolph Ziggler learn how to do a Zaxa little freeze frame thing.
Perfect.
It's messed up.
The whole thing has been messed up. But, I mean, and, you know, just the idea. I don't think Punk is going to... He's not going to get the money he wants, but, you know, he'll get it. He'll get something.
He'll get something, and... Personally, I would laugh if this little something-something turned into, you know, you can't use my face. Well, we could use you. What are you saying? "Oh, we, you know how much money you were asking? We want you to do a couple favors for us." No. Look at the money. No. We can do it in Chicago. Okay, that's just not fair.
But then he would go back to that, go back from that.
But yeah, then they would say, but, oh yeah, he would just get up from the table.
All right, fuck you.
And walk out. But onto better things. Somebody gave The Rock another movie role, so now he can't wrestle.
Yay.
Well, okay, no, I'm going to joke a bit about this, Chris, because this has been all over the internet for years, and now somebody's finally put real ink to real paper, and The Rock will be playing Black Adam in the Shazam movie.
Finally, a casting of a wrestler that is a superhero that we expect, that we wanted for years, because we never expected them to make a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And it just makes sense, and just a perfect fit, as long as Rock plays the part well, because this is only like the second or third time he's played a villain in a movie, if I think about it.
Yeah, because he died in Doom. He played a bad guy in Doom.
Okay, then it's four. Then the Scorpion King, well, he was the villain in the second Mummy, right? I've never seen it. Okay. And then there was the Doom one. And then, spoiler for anybody who hasn't even seen this movie, because I was the only person in the theater when I saw it, he actually became the villain at the end of the Get Smart movie. And then this.
But he was fun in the Get Smart movie.
Admit it, yes.
Yes, I spent real money on it too, thank you.
So did I. He was really good.
So, I think he'll be fine. And he will sneak one wrestling joke in there somewhere.
Now the problem...
He does it in every movie. There is a wrestling joke.
Well, yeah, that's a typical thing. Hogan did it all the time too, but...
Yeah.
Not as many people wanted to see Hogan's movies. The thing I'm wondering is, now that they got him to play Black Adam, they have to get somebody with a close enough body type to play Captain Marvel, Shazam, whatever the hell you want to call him anymore.
I don't know. I just want to know who's going to go through the CGI to play Talkie Tawny.
Oh, God.
What? Just because I have the early comics and the tiger's still in it.
Mm-hmm. But I'm also wondering if they're going to do that warmer caterpillar villain that he used to have, or either.
Oh, there you go.
But I will say this though: the Guardians of the Galaxy movie has become the number one movie of the year. It has grossed like 300 and some odd million. In the United States, looking at it from boxofficemojo.com, which in about a second I'm going to take a look at that. Guardians of the Galaxy right now, domestic, it has grossed $557 million worldwide right now. 284 in the, basically a 50-50 split for the most part. And Dave's got a major hit on his hands, by the way. Dave does not have to come back. Seriously. Don't come back. Play Drax and take your cash somewhere else. Seriously.
Play Drax, have fun, don't get back on the road for the Fed. This is a whole lot easier on your body. Don't get me wrong, because I enjoy Batista in 2004 and 2005. I was at the show where he quit from a wheelchair.
What is your malfunction?
You don't think I'll quit? I quit! Huge pop.
And as a member of the fan board, I will say I at least have the image of him doing the beauty pageant wave as the final image, and it is a glorious one.
Yes. At least he had the decency to stop and wave goodbye. Punk didn't let the door hit him in the ass on the way out.
All right. Fuck you.
So, another thing outside the company, and who else besides Jason here is an MMA fan? Do we have any other MMA fans here?
I'll watch it if it's on, if it's any good.
Yeah, me too.
Well, by God, will you watch it when you watch it when JR is going to be working one of the MMA shows?
Only if the title sponsor is Fruity, Delicious, Delicious, Fruity, Fruity, by God Almighty, they're Skittles.
I understand that he's going to be part of the announce team for Battleground MMA 1. Let's see, joining UFC veteran Chael Sonnen. Since Sonnen is currently on suspension, they gave him a microphone.
Oh, it's not just suspension. He was let go altogether from Fox Sports 1 because of said thing. He had been a broadcaster for the last few years, doing UFC Tonight and occasionally as an analyst up in the booth for the UFC pay-per-view shows from the studio set. And he talks a good game. He really does. It's just you can't. He has no credibility because he cheated.
Yeah.
He's a druggie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like letting Lawrence Taylor be an analyst on football, knowing what he did. Yeah.
Or Mark McGwire calling baseball. Yeah.
We got us an HGH Andro ridden doggy.
I didn't say Michael Vick.
Oh, from Jason's favorite team.
Ah, yes. Good God.
Sorry. It was there. Had to be done.
Always hit the low-hanging fruit, Nikki. Always hit the low-hanging fruit.
So, apologies forth. I did not mean to insult your dog.
No, don't worry.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Good dog. Oof.
I believe that's happening.
There's no easy way to say.
Yeah, but Chael Sonnen and Jim Ross, that's an interesting announce team. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah, so if you are interested in this, it's October 3rd. With a welterweight for a welterweight tournament, but it'd be nice to hear JR with some oomph in his voice.
Yeah, I'm not a big MMA person, but I might have that as background noise for something else I'll be doing on the 3rd. But this is in Pixel Nation, so I'll stop there.
There you go. There is no other way to transition this. And Chris, if we were a little further along in paper review,
this would be
a little relevant.
Yeah, we haven't gotten that far yet, but I think I know what you're talking about.
The world had to say goodbye to Joan Rivers last couple of days. And I will refrain from posting the picture that somebody posted of the stretched skin. I can't even remember what movie it's from.
I think it's from Doctor Who.
No, it's from something else. It's from something else. I have seen it, and I haven't seen enough Doctor Who to have seen that.
Okay.
But I will refrain from the joke that Joan Rivers will be very well preserved.
I'm going to refrain from the joke that she passed away at the age of 81. Her face passed away at the age of 18 months.
Anyone else?
I just feel sorry for all the plastic surgeons going out of business now.
Nope, not going to play it.
Okay.
Don't worry, half of California will follow her lead. Why are we mentioning Joan Rivers on a wrestling podcast? Well, I'll be happy to answer that question. Actually, I'm going to let Chris answer that question.
Well, there's a lot of reasons. She hosted the Tonight Show a couple of times when wrestlers were coming on, including Mr. Hulk Hogan. But the one I know of her from it was when she was a special ring announcer at WrestleMania 2, announcing for the boxing match between Piper and Mr. T. And she got to introduce something that Nikki doesn't remember, actually, from advertising with the short-lived advertisement of Herb from Burger King.
I honestly do not remember that. I remember non-creepy mask-wearing King before I remembered Herb.
That's okay. Not a lot of people remembered Herb. That's why the contest or whatever that was didn't do so well, and they got rid of their advertising agency.
If I remember correctly, an advertising magazine actually labeled that the worst ad campaign of that year.
Yeah, I think I read that somewhere, too.
It was first rated the best, and then it played out, and it was rated the worst. But we're going to be doing the same thing with the Miller Lite Catfight Girls in 10 years, so that's something.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Oh, yes.
Why is that, my time. Why does that not surprise me, Jason?
So, but yeah, she has a tangential tie to the wrestling world, and she will be missed. And yes, my dear, we can talk. We've got a lot to talk about. We still got a little bit to talk about here. Next, as long as you ignore the Bella drama, we might actually have a decent show. Maybe, possibly, hopefully.
We pray.
A lot of this, granted, is going to be some reprises of SummerSlam. Timber.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay.
God, I wish we could have another Rollins Ambrose lumberjack match. But Orton's getting another match against Reigns. Jericho will be facing Bray Wyatt in a cage, which, of course, is not going to keep Rowan and Harper out, and definitely not going to keep Bray Wyatt in.
Do we also get to a Cena-Lesnar physical confrontation?
Probably not, because this is not the go-home show.
Even with season premiere, I don't know if they can talk him into showing up. Outside of the drama, we'll probably have some stuff with a couple of other divas. They will continue to forward the B-Belt storylines, how they're intertwining. And Chris, the way this is all intertwining, do you any credence to them actually taking the B-Belts and putting them together?
I'm not really sure. It's kind of weird that they were doing that here. But even though I grew up in the era where you only had the three men's titles and every now and then you had the one woman's title, I don't think I want to see the two B-belts kind of fuse. I just want to see them differentiate them a little bit of where their level is.
Mm-hmm.
Or like we were talking about when we did the first Starrcade, maybe do bring back the TV title rule.
Well, given that there were how many titles defended that night?
No, that was Starrcade 84.
Sorry.
Yeah, 83 was when you learned that Piper was reincarnated as Dean Ambrose, even though he's not dead yet.
Yes. No, somehow they've cloned Roddy Piper and his name is Dean Ambrose. Because I could also see Piper storming in the middle of any show back then.
I will screw up the entire pay-per-view!
Oh, God, I missed that voice. I miss that voice.
I do, too. Come back soon, Dean. I miss you, man. I do miss you. I think I've covered everything that I needed to cover. Made for a quick show.
Nothing really more to cover. I mean, look, TNA's on Wednesday. They're still showing the shows that they're taping. Didn't they just finish or are about to do the September tapings?
I think they just finished.
For the ones for October?
So the post Bound for Glory stuff will already be on, will already be recorded before they go to Japan.
No. I don't think so. I know they're going to tape up to Bound for Glory, I think.
Okay.
But again, we don't know if that 13-week reprise is going to be any, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did read one weird mini story of TNA related. This is the first time I think I've talked. I've started a TNA discussion here.
Shame on you, but go on.
Yeah, I heard they're actually hinging the future of their champion on his outside project here.
Bellator?
No, I've read that too. They're not going to book anything with Lashley until after his match with Bellator.
Which yes. He won tonight, by the way.
Oh, he did win.
Okay.
Oh, yes. So he'll stay champion. Because if he lost, TNA would find a way to get that belt moved to who? I don't know.
No, he won in submission by rear naked choke in 3:54 of round two.
Okay.
And King Mo defeated Dustin Jacoby by strikes at the 113 of round two. So both TNA fighters won tonight in Bellator. But, you may or may not know that there's going to be a new Lucha show that's going to be debuting in the El Rey next month called Lucha Underground. Okay?
We've touched on it.
Matt Stryker is going to be the lead announcer. He just announced this.
Nice.
With Vampiro on color. Okay.
Cool.
Their talent has been asked not to discuss their involvement with the series to anyone. Okay. Because supposedly a lot of the contracts haven't been signed yet and all that sort of stuff. The rumors are that we're going to see Jomo and Chavo Guerrero Lucha on Underground. The rumor is that Ivelisse Velez, Ricochet is gonna.
Yeah.
And there's supposedly from last season's Tough Enough, some people are gonna be working there as well.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Watch for it. That'll be next month on the El Rey Network. It's called Lucha Underground. They're starting tapings. They're going to tape like 24 to 32 episodes over the next month or so.
Okay.
So, that'll be out in Los Angeles, I believe. So that's where they're going to tape that.
Okay. I don't think I get El Rey, but I will find a way to get to it. So I think with that, Jim, would you like to shoot and promote something?
By the way, El Rey is Spanish for the Ray. No.
Stop
the king,
that.
The king. Thank you very much. Chris Farley, why couldn't it have been Jimmy Fallon instead of you? Just saying. Anyway, yeah, I went there. Sue me.
Okay, get my lawyer.
Lawyer up, Jerry McDevitt online too. touch them all. We have we are in pennant chase mode, so we're coming with you, coming at you every week with a baseball podcast. The Honorable Mr. Block joined me alongside Jason Hernandez, newcomer to the proceedings, and Frat House Sports' Mike McShane. We recapped to the point that we recorded on Tuesday, the baseball playoff picture. Who's in, who's out, who is in right now, but may well be out when all is said and done. We also talk about Pete Rose, 25 years after being banned from Major League Baseball, and how, when, and if he will ever get into the Hall of Fame and ever get the banishment repealed, if it happens in his lifetime or not. We also have an interesting story or two from across the pond. Nikki, have you ever seen an extra inning baseball game in your life?
No, but I've heard some stories.
You haven't heard this one. A Japanese high school baseball game lasted 4 days and went 50 innings. Yeah. Oh, it gets better. Both
crazy.
Both starting pitchers pitched every pitch in that game.
Jeez.
Where are the parents? Just saying. That and a bunch of
where
other.
Where are the MLB coaches that are trying to find a translator to call these kids up? Anyway,
exactly. And we also have Jason Hernandez aboard to talk about something I've always wanted to do, and Lord willing, I get the money, I'm going to do it one day. He's doing a tour of all of Major League Baseball's ballparks and a few minor league ones too. Jason's been a part of our Jason and the other Jason have met up at Yankee Stadium a few weeks back. And they share that story and talks about the different vibes he's gotten at different ballparks. It's a great listen. 2 hours of baseball information for baseball fans. And, of course, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/touchemall. And we try to update it every day with the best and most interesting news and views involving all things baseball.
And let's see. Jason, you probably have a nice long list of things to promote.
Yes. Last night we recorded an episode of WLTI Live going over the winners and losers of summer, and we reviewed some shows and talked about what we think is going to be for the fall. We're going to have a new episode of Pixel Nation. We also recorded, and Jim, you'll also remember this, the season preview edition of the BS Big Show, where we predicted what we thought, what was going to be, who was going to win, etc., and all that good stuff. Eventually, we're going to get a catch-up edition of a Red State Blue State, and of course, you can listen to it on Stitcher.com, Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, and of course, TuneIn Radio. All those apps are in both the Google Play and the Android Store. The Apple Store. So, there you go.
And they're all free, so go for them.
Yeah, we're not going to rip you for $9.99 yet.
Yet.
For promote something.
Yes, last night, myself, BRM, Jim, Simon, we tried to cover the brutal assault that was the opening game of the 2014 NFL season. That should be up soon, so... listen to us try our best to keep up with this mess.
And Chris, you have at least one thing to promote.
Yeah, nothing new with my normal site, but we have Nikki and my project at tindeck.com/CMWaters, which is paper review. By the time you listen to this program, it's not up at the time of recording, but by the time you listen to this program, we will have the episodes of Starrcade 1984 and the first WrestleMania, which Nikki gets some interesting views here and there. And we get to just put our thoughts in it while you watch the show. That's tindeck.com/CMWaters.
Since he promoted that, I really don't have anything to promote. But, I'm going to do this. I'd like to just make a comment about arena security in Des Moines. You have to properly respect a Haman, and you do not put your hands on the badge without permission.
Uh-oh.
I did have ample opportunity to bring my concerns to the WWE security people, but I didn't feel like watching an argument with security guards. That sets a bad example. I did get to keep my badge, but the next time I'm in Des Moines, they take it off my lanyard, it's going to go right back on. that simple. So, I won't go into details, at least not on the air. If you want to find out, you'll just have to go come looking for me online. So, for Jason Block, for Jim Williams, for Chris Waters, for Poor Forth and his dog, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Always stick around, come back soon, and
stay pony, my friends.